Ezekiel 22. Son of man, will you judge the city of blood? Cause her to know all her abominations. So Ezekiel had gone into captivity with the first group of captives from Jerusalem, but the Jews are still in Judah, and Jerusalem is still standing as a city, and Zedekiah has been made king by the king of Babylon. And yet they're going to be destroyed by the Babylonians unless they repent. And so this is a message from Ezekiel to try to get them to recognize their abominations. And this is part of God's message to us, to convict us of sin that we might repent. So he uses some pretty extreme language to try to get them to see how bad they've been. The city sheds blood in the midst of her, so that her time of judgment may come. Sure, blood was going to be shed in the midst of Jerusalem by the Babylonians, but the Jews themselves had shed blood in the midst of her. You have become guilty in the blood that you have shed, and are defiled in your idols which you have made. I think the connection between guilt for blood and worshipping idols was because they were sacrificing their own children to the idols. And as God has said earlier, he took special exception to this out of all their sins. Because, he says, those children of yours are also my children. He says, you bore them to me. So when you have children, they are your children, but they are also God's. You bore them to God. And you need to marry someone and have children together with somebody who shares that view. Therefore, have I made you a reproach to the nations and a mockery to all the countries? Those who are near and those who are far will mock you. Behold, the princes of Israel, each according to his power, have been in you to shed blood. In you have they set light by father and mother. In the midst of you have they dealt by oppression with the foreigner. In you they have wronged the fatherless and the widow. So God is particularly sensitive to how we treat foreigners and the fatherless and the widow. And it was because of those things, out of all the massive sins they were committing, that God is saying, you are going to be destroyed, but I want you to recognize that you've done this, and then it need not happen. So the vulnerable and the weak, the foreigner, the fatherless and the widow, God is very, very sensitive as to how we behave to those people. You've despised my holy things, have profaned my Sabbaths. Slanderous men have been in you to shed blood. So he doesn't simply say that, well, you killed innocent people. He says, but it began with slander, saying, you did this when they didn't. You therefore deserve the death penalty. So slander, that's what God picks up on. All the time he looks at the real heart attitude behind the sin. In you have they uncovered their father's nakedness. In you have they humbled her who was unclean in her impurity. One has committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, another defiled his daughter-in-law. In you have they taken bribes to shed blood. You have taken interest and increase. You have greedily gained from your neighbors by oppression and have forgotten me, says the Lord Yahweh. Now, of course, they would say, no, we didn't forget Yahweh. You read Jeremiah, who's prophesying at the same time, and they were saying, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh. They were insistent that, no, we're still worshipping Yahweh. But he says, no, you've forgotten me. So you can be caught up with all this stuff of your religion and yet be living an immoral life, and you have effectively forgotten God, and God sees that and feels it. Behold, therefore, I have struck my hand at your dishonest gain which you have made, and at the blood shed in the midst of you. Can your heart endure, or can your hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with you? I, Yahweh, have spoken it and will do it. He keeps saying, I'm going to do this, because in his love and pity, he had said that many times and had delayed it or not done it, giving them chance after chance. But he's saying, look, judgment will come. This is such a message in Ezekiel. I will do this eventually. And so it is for us that, look, judgment for sin is going to come at the last day when Jesus comes back, even if it doesn't come in this life. It will come. The wages of sin will be death. I will scatter you among the nations, disperse you through the countries. I will consume your filthiness out of you. That was God's hope, that the exile would make them repent, although they still stubbornly refused to. Most of them chose to remain in Persia when they had the opportunity to return. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. All of them are brass, tin, iron, and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are the dross of silver. Therefore, thus says the Lord, because you have all become dross, therefore, behold, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem, as they gather silver, brass, iron, lead, and tin into the midst of the furnace to blow the fire onto it to melt it. So will I gather you, and I will melt you. I will blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in its midst. And you will know that I, Yahweh, poured out my wrath on you. So he's again saying that this great heat is going to come upon them because he wants to purge them. Because all these precious stones, silver, gold, etc., they're just dirty lumps of rock to start with, but they're put in the fire and melted until the dross, the impurity, goes off from them. The tragedy was that, yes, literally, Jerusalem was burnt with fire and so was the temple, but still the impurity was not removed from them. And so you see how people suffer in vain. They suffered in vain because they still didn't repent. People suffer awfully in life and they still don't get the point and repent. The point is repent, recognize your weakness, know your abominations, as this chapter begins by saying. Recognize all this. Recognize your impurity. And then you will not need to go through this fire. And it's so tragic, as I say, it's all through the history of Israel, it's through the history of so many individual people in life, that they suffer but they don't get it. And it's all because of the huge strength of human pride that they refuse to accept they've done wrong. And this is where we must be humble and accept we have done wrong and that we are impure. You are a land that is not cleansed in the day of indignation. You see, this is the point. They have not been cleansed despite all this. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in its midst, like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured souls. They've taken treasure and precious things. They've made her widows many in its midst. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the common. Neither have they caused men to discern between the unclean and the clean. Well, that is so relevant to our society, where it seems that right and wrong can no longer be discerned. People seem to not know how to tell right from wrong. Everything's become an endless shade of grey. Well, it could be this, it could be that. If that's good for you, that's okay. If that's fine by you, that's fine. No, this is where God's word, which we have today in the Bible, is so important, because there you have an absolute moral standard. And yet we live in a world that has no absolute moral standard, where something is wrong one day and then in 20, 30 years, oh, that's okay, that's actually good, that's actually right. They have no moral standard. And it was the same here in Jerusalem, and this is why they were going to be destroyed, because they refused to discern between the unclean and the clean, between the holy and the common. Her princes in its midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood and to destroy people so that they may get dishonest gain. Her prophets have plastered for them with whitewash, seeing false visions, telling them, yeah, it's all okay. God says it's okay to be like that. Yeah, don't worry, God's on your side. When this was not true. The people have used oppression, committed robbery. Yes, they troubled the poor and needy and oppressed the foreigner wrongfully. Again and again, God comes back to this. It's your attitude to children, sacrificing their children, to the poor, the needy, the foreigner, the widow. God is very sensitive in how we treat the vulnerable and the weak. I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation on them. So it was possible that even one man could have stood in the gap, and God would not have destroyed the land for the sake of that one man. But there was not that one man found, not Jeremiah, who was a prophet at the time, not Ezekiel. Nobody was good enough, as it were, to do that. And of course, ultimately, that person is only the Lord Jesus.